Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, Ask the GP. We'll get your health, medical questions, queries answered. You can send those in 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic is with me in studio to answer those queries today. A texter has got in touch, Niall, looking for advice from County Donegal for a broken heart, if you've any advice for them today.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of us in the same boat.
You were at the game yesterday.
I was indeed, yeah. So still deflated today, but... congratulations to Kerry, better team won, much as it kills me to say it.
I know. Right, questions coming in from listeners. The first one here, sorry, just in relation to constant sore throats, feels like laryngitis, have been to the doctor, have been on medication and antibiotics, still feel like I haven't cleared it though, that it's there, it's still lingering. Do I need to go back? Do I really need another course?
I suppose it depends on the timing. If you have a nasty enough infection, even with the right treatment, it can take a bit of time to clear up fully. If you're talking a week or two out, I would probably leave it a little bit longer. Then there's a lot of other things that would come into play, like if this person was a smoker, if they're kind of a heavy drinker, if they had things like acid reflux and so on, I'd probably leave it a little bit longer. But it wouldn't I wouldn't necessarily be going straight back to the doctor. I'd probably leave it a little bit longer.
Leave it a bit longer. And take what, painkillers in the meantime?
Yeah, take painkillers, stay hydrated. You know, all the lifestyle stuff as well. If that person does smoke maybe or vape, look at those things. But in general terms, I probably would leave it a little bit longer.
Okay. Google says, according to this texter, Google says that a boil in the nostril or anywhere in the face warrants an immediate trip to the emergency room. Is it really that serious or can it wait for a GP appointment?
I suppose Google this time is about half right, we'll say. Cellulitis, which is a skin infection of the face, that's something that I would not wait around with, because that can spread to your ear, to your eye. And if someone has cellulitis in their leg or somewhere, we'll give an antibiotic. If they have it in their face, we'll usually skip one or two early rungs on the ladder and go for something a bit stronger. So if you have an infection in your face, you usually do need something stronger. It sounds like a boil in the nose. Again, it depends on how well the person is.
How would you know that it's a boil?
Usually a boil, like inside, it'd be really, really sore. So a boil is a collection of pus and it presses on the structures around it. So it's really, really painful. It's really, really sore. So I probably wouldn't hang around, but I wouldn't be rushing to the emergency department unless there was redness spreading from the source, or I had a temperature, or I was sick or unwell with it.
Now, this listener is wondering, do you know what a metallic taste in the mouth means? The roof of my mouth is quite tender as well.
For something like a metallic taste, there's two very common causes. So one of them is a medication that we would prescribe. So certain antibiotics will give it. Particularly there's one called clarithromycin, which will often do that. So it can be post-antibiotic or post-treatment. But a commoner cause would usually be acid reflux. So that's where acid comes up through the esophagus or the food pipe up to the back of the throat, and it causes this quite characteristic metallic-y taste. So probably worth trying taking an antacid. And again, if that person is a smoker or they drink heavily, just to look at those lifestyle factors.
So. Okay. I'm currently 27 weeks pregnant and I'm getting awful pain in my right rib going from my back all the way around to my diaphragm. I'm going to my own doctor on Thursday. Should I be worried about this? Could it be preeclampsia? I'm just feeling terribly uncomfortable at the moment.
It doesn't necessarily sound like preeclampsia, but I would probably go a little sooner than Thursday if that person is like, if they're experiencing that when they take a deep breath, that it's causing them a bit of discomfort. It isn't common, but it can happen more commonly in pregnancy that somebody can get, say, a clot or something like that. Now, I certainly would be very surprised if that was the case here, but that sort of chest discomfort within pregnancy, I would probably get seen a good bit sooner than Thursday.
Okay. This listener is 60-year-old female. In the last 2 months, I've been getting a pain in my right thumb joint and sometimes I can feel a little bit of a lump. It's not always there though. I too occasionally get a sharp pain in my left thumb joint that goes away within seconds. I'm just wondering if this could be the start of arthritis, or perhaps is it something hormonal? I do use a HRT patch.
The chances are for that person that it's almost certainly something like an arthritic process. So patients attribute an awful lot to hormones and hormone imbalances and things like that. And we don't really see that in practice so often. So for somebody like this, I would say that's almost certainly an arthritic issue. And as to whether you go further with it would only be depending on the level of discomfort or effect it was having on you. So if it was sort of stopping you golfing, playing sport, doing something with your hands that you normally do, then I would have a lower threshold to get something done about it. But if just a little bit sore, I would take paracetamol and see how it evolves.
Okay. This listener says they had a tumour removed from their right breast about 4 weeks ago. I will actually be getting radiation therapy quite soon. Is this likely to affect my right lung? I've read that this can damage your lungs.
I wouldn't say that it's likely to affect it, but it's certainly a very, very outside possibility. So when somebody has a tumour removed, often radiotherapy will be applied to the area where it was, just to make sure that anything that was there is completely killed off. I suppose there's a theoretical risk that you could cause a bit of inflammation of the lung lining, but your radiation therapist will go through all of this with you, or will go through the process or what is entailed within it, and they always do whatever they do to try and minimise things like that happening as much as possible.
Okay, interesting listener query here. My sister is moving from the US and is diagnosed with ADHD. She takes is it dexamethasone?
Something along those lines. Yeah,
she's having trouble actually getting the medication here in Ireland. Her GP says that he can't prescribe it, and she might need to get re-diagnosed. But the problem is that a private diagnosis is upwards of about €1,000. Is there any way to get her diagnosis in America recognised in Ireland?
Well, every GP interprets this differently. So I only speak for myself here. So we've had a number of patients in this situation over the last couple of years. And in general terms, I will recognise myself a diagnosis that comes from a board certified psychiatrist in America. Occasionally, people will bring diagnoses that come from a psychologist, and this is not in any way a denigration of them or their qualifications. But for us to ongoingly prescribe that medicine, it really does need to have come from a consultant. So I tend to broach this practically, and if somebody has all their paperwork from someone who's board certified, then I will just maybe get them to get their consultant in abroad just to clarify exactly when it was started, how long they're on it. I suppose the issue for us as GPs arises in titration. Not every GP, myself included, is comfortable with titrating or changing the dose of a medicine. And also some of those medications need quite close following and monitoring. So every GP is different. I broach it practically. I personally would accept a diagnosis with a few extra little bits.
Yeah. Okay. So go to get that clarified then before they leave the US. Really, is it?
I think that I would. I think I would gather all the paperwork, and I think if you go to a GP lastminute.com saying I need this medicine, and you don't have any of that paperwork, that puts us in a bind because we want to help, but we're a bit exposed. No more than I wouldn't be prescribing any other medicine that's very much off-piste. We know the limitations of what we can do. But if somebody is organised and has all their paperwork and their letters and so on, then I certainly approach it in a pragmatic fashion. Factor personally.
Yeah, okay. Now, this listener says, this might sound minor, but it's really interfering with my sleep. Any cure for itchy ear canals in both ears?
Yeah, absolutely. So that sounds like a condition called otitis externa. So which means otitis just means inflammation of the ear, and externa means the outer ear. It actually refers to the canal. Sometimes it's called swimmer's ear and things like that. And you can get very effective steroid drops that will alleviate that quite well.
So just go to the GP and look for those.
Yeah, absolutely. And get your GP to have a look inside. Is there wax there? Wax doesn't tend to cause itch, but sometimes clearing it can help.
Yeah, okay. Now, listeners wondering, while going and on holidays, I often suffer from tummy bloat from flying and the heat. And this usually leads to constipation while on holidays. It can take up to a week for things to go back to normal when I come home. I don't drink while flying, and I try to hydrate as much as possible. Also try to include loads of fibre in my diet when I am on holidays. I've tried over the years loads of different various things, but it still continues to happen. So can Niall recommend anything that I should take in the lead up to flying?
Yeah, so the term bloating is a tricky one, because if somebody feels bloated and we do scans and imaging and tests, we often don't show anything obvious. So it's a patient's subjective feeling of their symptoms. So you can take things like Buscopan and bloaties and medicines like that can be purchased over the counter, or your GP can prescribe them for you. I'm always a little wary of the term bloating. It's happily not commonly a sign of something else underlying, but if you're getting recurrent bloating and abdominal swelling, it would lower my threshold a little to talk to your own doctor about that, maybe even on your next visit. Mm. It does sound like it's transient and environment related, but it's just a term I'm always careful of personally.
Just actually as a follow-up to that, swollen ankles.
Yes.
After flights. Well, what is that a sign of, or what can you do to reduce it?
Well, elevating your ankles is definitely the best. So if you're sitting in a plane, gravity will bring fluid right down to your legs, and then there's changes in the atmospheric pressure as well and stuff like that. So the easiest way to kind of change that is to elevate your legs as much as possible, or wearing compression stockings, because what they do is every time you take a step, your calf muscle squeezes and it brings fluid back up, we'll say, towards your heart. To oversimplify it.
Yeah.
But by wearing compression stockings, that augments that. And in some people, that can make it a little bit easier and it can relieve it. Ankle swelling outside of that context can have a different connotation. But within that context of worsening when flying, honestly, the best thing you do is walk around a bit, don't sleep, don't take a sleeping tablet, and when you get to your destination, if possible, try and elevate your legs.
Okay. And finally, how long should the effects of concussion last? I banged my head about 5 weeks ago and since then have been getting what I can describe as sort of shivers or vibrations in my head, which I assume is related.
Mm. Well, it could be. And I suppose concussion isn't really an umbrella. It's kind of an umbrella term, but it's been further classified in the last few years. So I'm always wary of that as well when a patient labels it themselves. Now, they may have been seen and examined, but I think that person needs an appraisal maybe to get seen and advised. It sounds like if they're doing sport or something, especially if it's a contact sport, should they be pulling back on that? Should they be resting? Should they be taking it easy? So, and they probably also need to get their blood pressure checked and a few other bits and pieces. So that is one that I would attend your doctor with.
Okay. Listen, Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic in Dublin. Niall, thanks a million for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. If we didn't get to your question, we will keep it though. We'll certainly get to it next Monday afternoon, or you can drop us an email. That's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.